Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Power Your Life Radio Show with host and success doc, Joanne White. Author, speaker, and certified coach, Doc White gets to the heart of what matters most. She features guests and experts to help you consciously create more success, health, and well-being in every area of your life, work, and relationships. They'll share their success stories, wisdom, and know-how to shine more light onto your day and into your life. Power your life right now. Here's Joanne White.
Hello, everybody. I'd like to welcome you to the Power Your Life radio show. This is Dr. Joanne White, and we have a fantastic guest today. For over four decades, the amazing Kreskin has dramatized the unusual power of the human mind with a rare combination of wit and showmanship. His name has become an integral part of pop culture, invoked in comedy clubs, comic strips, print stories, and television shows from sitcoms to national magazines. Among the hundreds of television appearances on almost every talk and variety show worldwide are The Late Show with David Letterman, Late Night with Jimmy Fallon, CNN, and The View. And he's also hosted his own highly rated television series and television specials. Kreskin has received international recognition for extraordinary predictions, often dealing with world affairs, and is also a training consultant to law enforcement and security personnel in the development of their powers of observation and their intuitive skills. He's performed for royalty and for presidential families, and he is the inspiration for the key character of the film The Great Buck Howard, played by John Malkovich and also starring Tom Hanks. So I don't want to take time up, but he has a wonderful background and a wonderful CV. And without further ado, here is the amazing Kreskin. How are you?
Dr. White, how are you?
I am doing great. I have watched your shows. I am so excited, and I have tons of questions for you.
And you know, by the way, I got to also mention this because you folks, and unfortunately, I have you know the limited time of about 15 minutes, but I want to also mention because I think I owe it to you. In a couple of months, a new book is going to be out. It's going to be my 18th book, and we are for reasons this is talk about a cliffhanger. And don't worry about phones ringing. This is a book that I am so excited about, not because of what I've written. I mean, I'm not a special writer, but the format of it is unlike almost any book that's come out for years. So isn't that going to be a good thing to kind of keep in mind in a few months from now when we talk again, huh?
That'll be great. What's the name of the book so I can actually...
Well, it's called Conversation with Kreskin. But, you know, are we speaking from New Jersey, by the way? I know you heard all over the United States.
I'm in New Jersey,
Do you know, I got to tell you, because my home base, I was born in Montclair, New Jersey. And I'm only home, actually, 4 days a month because the airline industry announced... Actually, 3 years ago, March, as of 3 years ago, I have flown a little over 3 million miles, if you could imagine. I was in Vegas headlining at the Riviera until about a week or 10 days before Christmas. And the holidays mean very much to me because I don't get to see friends and family very much. And so I left just before Christmas, but I was on CBS Morning News during that period because, and this sounds crazy, but the last 7 weeks that I was in Vegas, now the shows were five nights a week, but during those last 7 weeks, I still managed to fly 68,000 miles. So
see, that's why you have that amazing name, the amazing Kreskin, because you do.
It's a frustrating time to fly. The real problem is the delays and you know, getting there early because of security, which is, we're in a different world today, but I say to people who, you know, complain about the waiting and so forth, you would have trouble flying out of Israel, because to fly out of there, you have to be at the flight 4 hours earlier. So, you know, we have a different world, but at the same time, it's a challenging one. And I've been reading about you and looking at material about you on the internet, and you yourself are a very fascinating person. I got to say that.
Well, thank you so much. I enjoy you, and I wanted to ask you some questions, because you started your career at 9 years old. Is that correct? Can you expand upon that a little bit?
It was it was a pivotal moment in my life, and I was in grade school. I was in third grade in Lincoln School, in outside of Montclair, New Jersey, and it was raining outside, and of course we couldn't go out to play. And Miss Curtis, who I can vividly remember, a beautiful and wonderful teacher, she decided to teach us a game. And we're all intent because we're kids, we like to play. So she sent out of the classroom one of my fellow students. Her name was Jane Hamilton. I can remember, that's how meaningful this incident was. So while Jane is out of the classroom, we hit a beanbag somewhere in the classroom, and I recall it was in someone's desk. So then Miss Curtis calls Jane Hamilton back in, and she taught us an old game, a call hot and cold, you know, where Jane walked around and we were saying, well, you're getting hot, if she's getting near it, but, well, you're getting cold and you're getting very hot. And she finally was screaming as she was near the desk, and she reached the desk and there was the beanbag. So I thought to myself, oh, my God, that's a neat game. And I was disappointed that I wasn't picked to play. So walking home, which was a mile from home, I walked to school every day up to 12th grade with good exercise. And I got my brother, who was at home, and my mother was shopping. So we walked over to my grandparents' house. They lived about 10 minutes away, and they were from Sicily, did not speak much English. I loved them dearly. And it was an old house that my grandfather built with his own hands. He was a mason, a construction man. And they lived upstairs because they rented the downstairs. I said, Joey, go upstairs and hide a penny. Now, he's 3 years younger. He's only six and a half years old. He goes upstairs and hides it. And he calls me. And I walk up the old stairs and walk into my grandparents' kitchen. It was an old-fashioned one with a long potbelly stove. And my grandmother's sitting there probably wondering what the world's going on. I walk through the kitchen into my uncle's bedroom. He was at work, and I climbed up on a chair. Now, I'm 9 years old, so I'm not tall at all. I reached behind the curtain rod and found myself touching a penny. And then suddenly, Dr. White, it hit me that I forgot to tell my brother Joe to talk to me. He never spoke to me. He never said a word. There was no communications. Of course, my grandmother, being Italian, must have thought I had the evil eye or something. But it was the beginning. And as a result of that, by fourth grade, my teacher there, Miss Galloway, who passed away a year and a half ago and was very special in my life, she realized what I was potentially able to do. And on show and tell, on Fridays, I tried experiments with my classmates, and do you know, by the time I was in seventh, eighth grade, and then ninth grade, I was doing 2-hour performances. I raised funds for my school when I was in ninth grade and did a 2-hour show. So this has been, Dr. White, and slowly now, let me tell you what this. So I had an ability to kind of tune in on people's thinking. Well, today, and this is true around the world because I leave in a few days for Chicago. I'm headlining for a week out there. In my performances, my full evening performances, I turn my check, my fee for the evening over to the audience. A committee is picked, and they have to be strangers, people who have never met me before. And part of the committee escorts me from the auditorium, or if it's a banquet hall, or if it's a state fair, and the Minnesota State Fair, we had 18,000 people. The Oregon State Fair was 22,000. Wow. Since I can't leave the theater, they took me into a trailer and guarded it with people inside so they could not hear what's going on. Then they hide my check anywhere in the theater. And when I return, no one speaks to me. There's no conversation. There's no questions asked. I simply ask the committee to concentrate where they've hidden it. And if I don't find my fee, Dr. White, I don't get paid. Can you imagine making
a
living
that
way?
How often has that happened?
Well, everybody, I've lost 9 times, and people can say that's not many out of 6,000 times. But one of the occasions was New Zealand, and it was a Coliseum, and I failed that night, and I lost $51,000 in one night. And another time was the American Medical Association of Surgeons. It was at a private fair at a banquet hall in Atlantic City, and it was a crowded banquet room, and they also had folding chairs because there were more people, more doctors there than they had regular set up for. So people were sitting all everywhere, and I kept going up to this doctor in the audience, walking through the crowd, and had her get up from her chair, and I lifted the chair and turned it over, and it wasn't there, and I must have gone 5 or 6 times. And finally, the president of the New Jersey Medical Society said, "Well, Chris, we're going to pay you anyway." And I says, no. If I don't find this, I forfeit it, and I failed, and they turned it over to Seton Hall University, where I had been a student. But that's not the point, but the frustration. My feet were literally an eighth of an inch from the check. While I was out of the room, they had moved the furniture, rolled up the rug, put the check on the floor, rolled the rug back up, and put all the furniture in place, and I was standing on it.
Oh, my goodness. That's amazing.
And yet, at a bottom...
There are very focused areas for you, because I know that we're pressed for time, and I had people...
I know. I'm sorry. I'm sorry about that.
No, I love your stories. I really do.
By the way, one quick thing. Some of the places I've hidden in, Bob Hope's dinner in his honor, I found it in the stuffing of a turkey. University of Illinois, I walked up to a man amongst 8,000 people. It was a father of one of the students. Had him open his mouth. No check. I said, I didn't know what to do. I said, "This has to do with the roof of your mouth." He reached and took out his upper plates and handed me his check, my check.
Oh, my goodness.
Can you imagine, Dr. White?
He must have been embarrassed too. Having
my audiences you can see my audiences are diabolical, Dr. White.
Now, you're in a book, and you've been in movies, Wake Up Calls, where you actually play Dr. Dream, and you're in a book just called Tasting the Universe, and people are wanting to know about some predictions. So.
Yeah. Dr.
Help
White,
us out here. Which one should we focus on first?
Well, I got to mention, first of all, because it's a New York Times book, Taste in the Universe, and your listeners may want to, when they call you in the time to come, relate. The book is by Seberg, and I have nothing financially to do with it, but it's a chapter about me. It's dealing with synesthesia, which is now being studied in many major cities around the world, and it's an old phenomena that's been ignored. And without going into details, it has to do with about 5% of humanity that, when they are stimulated by one of the senses, interpret it in another sense. Billy Joel, when he hears music, sees panoramic color around him. I tend to hear a voice in my mind when something is suggested to me in writing or what have you. And it's a fascinating, and the listeners, folks, when you're with friends or family, just ask them, do any of you amongst us, when you see certain things, suddenly hear them? Or if you read something, do you see something visually in front of you? It's going to be, I think, a common day-to-day conversation when people meet just to talk about what's new.
Right. You know, I think I have that. And I'm wondering if that's something that people can develop if they focus on that over time.
Now, Doctor, I'm so interested because I've interviewed people who have it in different ways. There are mathematicians, and they're talked about in the book. It's not just a book about me or Billy Joel or others. It's about scientists, certain mathematicians, that when they think of a 2, let's say they see it in yellow, or every time they think of a 4, it's in red. And what happened, how the book devoted chapters to me, is the author was talking to me one day. We were at a banquet real quickly, and I said, well, think of some numbers. I'll show you how I can read thoughts. And I wrote something on a pad and put it in front of her. And when she turned it over, I'd gotten the exact series of numbers. I said, I don't understand this. Why were you thinking of the 2 in the color yellow and the 4? And she suddenly screamed. I said, what's the matter? She says, in my whole life, when I think of certain numbers, I see them in colors. How, in your case, Dr. White, do you think maybe is there some sense that you perceive in a different way?
Actually, when I'm writing when I need to find a word, I actually move and I hear the words. And when I'm writing, I hear a voice.
See, that's the phenomena. I bet you, I'll tell you something, I'm sure she wished she had known about you. She would interview you for the book.
Too late now.
But isn't it fascinating?
I love it. And I'm just wondering if, it, like I said, I think if people could practice, so that you're saying, can you see the color of popcorn cracking or something like that?
You know the clue. You know the clue, Dr. White, is, and I'm going to give, and then we'll pursue this in the future. Folks listening in, when you speak to people, when you talk to someone, listen how they talk to you. Some people will say, and it's become part of everyday language, let's say you're talking to a friend or a business associate, and they'll say to you whenever they talk, well, that doesn't sound right to me. No, I don't like the way that sounds. That doesn't sound, and in their language, not that they'll say it occasionally, but when they're grappling, they'll use the phrase sound, because unconsciously they're reflecting how they tend to see, to think. Other people will often say, I don't see that. I can't see it that way, and so forth.
Or I can't.
And unconsciously, they
way.
May be
right.
tipping off that they think that way.
Right. Or I can't feel that, or something like that. So
yeah, and other people will say that. But there's a lot of people, and when I've been with a lot of relatives, they'll say, oh my God, I just realized, I thought this is the way everybody thinks, and someone else says, no, I don't think that way. Dr. White, I got to mention, forgive me how the time goes, but can we, in about 3 or 4 weeks, touch base, and then we can spend more time. I believe it or not, I have to leave for an appearance, but people can look at information about me on AmazingCreskin.com and get a little bit more background on, or just look at Amazing Creskin.
Yes, we can. Can you do us one favor before you leave and give our listeners one prediction? Because I made a promise.
I have to explain what my thoughts are. But right now, and this is a general prediction, but it's a reflection of our society, and I think conversations such as we are having will be symptomatic of it. In Canada now, they're saying Creskin has the kitchen table philosophy of our future. This is not so much a prediction, but a vision that's what's going to bring our culture back together again. It's something that we will have to go back to our childhood with our families and what have you. People, because we've become socially dysfunctional and are not communicating as we once were, we're going to find that one of the keys in life is going to be sitting around the kitchen table with friends or family and just sitting and facing and touching each other. And I believe within the next year and a half, with the economy and the problems that they are, this is going to be one of the key changes in our society. It will reflect our touching each other emotionally once again.
Well, we're losing that with all the technology. So
we are losing it immensely. And listen, folks, you've got to do that. When people come, don't sit in a room with the television on. Yes, when you're by yourself or the couple, you listen to Dr. White and so forth. But people have to now touch themselves, and you touch not just physically, but by being in the presence of some. And by the way, when you're communicating, and keep this in mind, sometimes people say just as much when they're not speaking. You don't have to fill every moment of your life with noise. Dr. White, I'm not going to say goodbye to you. Let's say in the spirit of broadcasting, to be continued, and I'd love to talk to you soon again.
Thank you so much, Dr. Thank you so much, the amazing Kristen. I'd love to talk to you too, and hopefully we'll have you again. Safe travels.
And let's say it again, Dr. White. To be continued, Dr. White, to be continued.
To be continued.
Thank you, though. Thanks.
Thank you. My pleasure. Now, are you going to respond to some of what you heard? We were hoping for more predictions, but are you still there? Hello?
Hello? Hello, can you hear me?
Yes, I can
hear
you perfectly. Yes. Do you have that sense that Kreskin was referring to? Or do you have a specific comment about what he's been talking about?
No, I just thought it was fascinating that how he has the ability to reach, you know, tap into people's mind. I'd like to say that I don't think in numbers with colors, but what I do get is I get a sensation of passion and literally a tingling all over, and I can almost see it and touch, and very vivid when it comes to music. Opera in particular really touches me that way.
So basically one of the other stronger senses that you have is that feeling of touch. You feel it kinesthetically in your body. Is that correct?
Very strong. Yes, indeed. So I perhaps that's how other people perceive numbers, you know, people that are more. One thing that also I think that it's funny because it has to do with the spaces. I mean, I literally sometimes when I'm with people or we're in a different city, or when I don't speak the language, I'm in a foreign country, and I literally have no clue where I am. It only takes me for me to stand up and look at the sky, and somehow my mind just starts picturing like a radius, and I know exactly how to go by intuition, and I'm usually 99% correct. Now, that is the only weird thing that I thought that I had. I mean, when it comes to referendum of where I'm going and where I'm supposed to go. So I don't know
now,
if
are you
people do the same thing.
Right. No, everybody has it differently, and I also teach that a lot, too. Now, are you familiar with any of the amazing Kreskin's movies or predictions? Have you followed him at all?
I have seen him in he was in the late show with Dave, and I thought he was amazing. I thought there was a little part where he attended in 60 Minutes, and that was a few years ago. So I am slightly familiar with him, but I wasn't aware of his predictions. I'm definitely going to Google him, and I'm going to find his book.
You're right. So it's www.amazingkreskin.com, and he has a lot of information. But what I found out, because I haven't seen a lot of these movies, is that in many of his movies, and particularly one that I read about, The Wake-Up Calls, he stars as Dr. Dream, and he's an alien secret agent who poses as a psychiatrist. And what he does in the movie is that he actually hypnotizes a gang of thugs to be completely unconscious. And I read something that he decided that he wasn't just going to do it as theatrical, and that's one of the things I wanted to ask him today, but we'll do it another time, that he wrote that he was interviewed and he said that he doesn't do it just as a theatrical performance, but he decided that when he was going to be in a movie or on stage, he was actually going to go through the process of using the mental powers of suggestion to get these people hypnotized or whatever. And I want to know if
right.
that really happened. So maybe we'll Google, maybe we'll ask him that question next time. But you haven't seen any of
I am so happy you invited. No, I haven't. And like, no, I haven't, but I am. I have seen a few other people in other shows, and I myself have tried to go to get hypnotized on various occasions without much success. I wonder if there is some people who are better candidates for it. And
there
are
very
who
few
are don't.
People that there. You know, I also do help people get into that what I call a relaxed state, and there are very few
right.
people on the planet who cannot be so-called hypnotized or open to the suggestion of thought. So perhaps you needed to be relaxed more, or perhaps when the person was, I don't know exactly what they used in terms of relaxing you or progressive relaxation, but perhaps they didn't do it long enough or they didn't create the
correct
kind of setting wherein you were comfortable, because I've had that complaint happen all the time, and I just smile because it's you just have to take time. Each person is different, so you really have to take time
right.
for each person. So what
indeed.
Was your experience?
No, and when I attended, it was because I was trying to go through therapy, trying to work out some childhood issues. And you are correct when you say that there has to be a sense of a trust. I mean, when it comes to therapy, when it comes to mind, when it comes to this bonding, I mean, it's a human interaction. There really has to be a special connection that if it's not there, then it is just not there. So I thought hypnotherapy was going to work best for me. And I went to go and retrieve some issues. And I attended in 3 or 4 different occasions with 3 or 4 different therapists, and it never worked out. So luckily, you know, time progressed. I found somebody who was more willing to work with what is called eye rapid movement therapy.
Right.
And
right.
That,
and like I said,
did wonders.
Everybody needs
yes.
Everybody needs a different technique. But what's interesting are people like Kreskin, who's a showman, who can actually be in an audience of thousands of people and hypnotize people. And I saw him doing it, or even hypnotize the anchor or the host on stage, where they can actually be in such a relaxed, rigid state that he has people lift them up. I mean, I watched this happening. So there you're in a highly excitable environment where there are lots of people and you're on, and it's
correct.
Not the okay, but when you're dealing probably with very personal issues, and I have other callers, so I'm just going to give you another minute or so, with personal issues,
thank
it's
you.
A very intimate kind of a situation, and you need to develop that sense of trust, I believe. I mean, Kreskin may say otherwise, but I think in those situations, you really need it to find the right person. And congratulations that you spent the time to not give up and to get what you needed. And I want to thank
yeah, and
you
I'm
so
very
much.
Persistent.
Well, that's a great trait. That's a great trait in getting ahead in whether it's personal, business, or career, or relationships. So we want to thank you so much for being on the show. And the call-in number, thank you again for taking the time. The call-in number, folks, is 805-285-9790, and there are other people who are interested in calling in. Please call in. We want to get your responses. Unfortunately, Kreskin wasn't able to stay the whole time, but he has indicated that he wants to come back and do this
yes.
again, and perhaps for a little longer stay. So thanks again for being on the show. 805-285-9790, and we're looking for your commentary and your phone calls. And if you haven't seen Wake Up Calls, where Kreskin is Dr. Dream, take a look at that and see if you can sense what he's doing in terms of rendering these thugs totally unconscious. And we have another caller. Hello, come on in.
Hello.
Hello, you're on the air.
Yes, I have a question. You know how Kreskin said, and you were saying as well, that you think some people can develop their own psychic ability. And I actually have seen Kreskin, and it is amazing, especially in front of a large audience, that he has such a power over, I wouldn't even say over people, but with people. Although I will say, even though he's quite a talker, he really does listen. And I wonder if that's part of developing your psychic ability, is being a good listener. Because you said that you think people can do that. How can people develop that if they have, is it just tapping into that gut feeling?
Right. Well, he was talking about this very particular and very what many people would think is a very unusual experience. So, and that is that if you're listening to music, and if you're listening to music at the same time that you're listening to the music, you may actually see colors associated with it. So I'm not sure that that's necessarily psychic development, but when I run my classes in helping people develop their intuitive awareness, one of the little techniques that we do in terms of practicing is to go through those kinds of experiences. So I'll say something like, okay, what I'd like you to do is to see the color of rain, so that they have to envision that and create that in their mind. Now, some people may do that naturally, and other people, to me, it's a way of turning on all those centers of awareness and really helping them be just more focused and accentuating them. So the center of touch, the center of hearing, of taste, of smell, of sight. And to me, it's a way of getting those senses so attuned and having you really be able to, it's basically combining two different senses at the same time. So we're going to need to know more about that. But the book that he's in and the book that I was actually talking about was something, I think that book is out. I think that book is out because I read about it and it's
yeah, I believe it is. I think so too.
Right, and he's actually one of, I think there are about 12 chapters, and he's one of the people that are cited in the book. It's called Tasting the Universe, and it's a book called Synesthesia. It's Creating Synesthesia, Creating a Pathway to Talents. And he, the writer, is Maureen Seberg, and she features, as Kreskin said, Billy Joel, Perlman, the composer, Kreskin, and many other people who are, it's called the stimulation of one sense, which involuntarily elicits a sensation or an experience in another sense. So like I said, you can smell colors or taste images, like see the color of rain or taste the color of rain. And I think it can be developed, but there's more to that. And I think it's just very fascinating because there are already about 5% of the population in the world who experience this without any particular kind of training. And getting back to hypnosis, because he would say that nobody's really hypnotized, that what we're doing is we're using the power of suggestion and the power of the mind to just be open to suggestion, and I think that's true to some extent, but I think it can be developed, and I think it's just a matter of playing with those senses and helping you get to a level of awareness. I'm going to make a prediction, and I think that over the next several years that we're going to see an increase in the population, not just with this particular experience that we were talking about, but people who can actually increase their intuitive abilities. I think it's something that's going to be expanded naturally. Do you realize that there are some children that are born, and I just read this, I'm finding this pretty incredible. There have been children who've been born with already having AIDS, and these children do something, who knows what, and that's something also for future study, wherein after they get retested, that gene or that prognosis for AIDS is totally gone. So what happens? Are these children coming in with all sorts of abilities in terms of being able to heal their own challenges, physical or challenges?
That's fascinating. I mean, that could be the case.
It could be, and I think more and more that we're going to hear about that and see it, and I think that's going to be very important. I'd like to talk more, if you have a few minutes, and I'm going to give other people the number, 805-285-9790. Please call in with comments. What Kreskin said about what's going to sort of change the world or heal the world, and that's going back to sitting around the table like we used to do in families and just touching one another. And touching one another, it may not be physically, but touching one another in terms of creating that emotional bond. What did you think of that, what he said?
Well, you know, it's interesting you said that. I saw him, like I said, I did see him once, and it wasn't all that long ago when he was in Boston. And one of the things he said, one of his predictions is that we're going to see an increase in natural disasters worldwide, that we're going to see more and more natural disasters as well as chemical disasters. And then he tied in, it was kind of interesting how his conversation went, that's when he said that one of the things as far as the family is more people just sitting and not being on computers and not being on cell phones and actually having quality time. So you have to wonder, too, if those kind of link together, that the natural disasters and things like that get us back to the real roots of who we are and spending quality time with family and not, you know, just even with this natural disaster in China. I mean, the internet shut down for a couple of days for people over there, and they couldn't communicate that way. And they literally had to kind of sit in their house and not be on cell phones and that. So maybe it's those things that kind of bring us back, unfortunately, to our roots. So maybe they do kind of tie in together.
I think that's a great insight, and I think that's really true. And I was reading something in the New York Times Magazine about people going to a party, and even though you're supposed to be there face-to-face, mingling and making contact and exchanging ideas and laughter and feelings and whatever, many of the people, probably more than two-thirds of the people, kept looking at this little technological device that they had in their hands and using a couple of fingers and working it. So people are getting so used to doing this that I believe, and I think that it's taking away from our ability to relate. And maybe it does, in fact, have that very strong impact on what's going on in the world. And maybe we need to, you know, there was a book that came out a long time ago about high tech, high touch. So the more that we get involved technologically and the more that we're utilizing our digital devices, the more we have to accentuate the ability to get close and connected through touch, through that face-to-face contact that you and I and Kreskin were talking about, and through all those personable and personal experiences.
Oh, that's interesting, yeah. But, you know, it's another thing you brought up. I wanted to get your feedback on this lecture, because you were talking about people developing their psychic ability. When he was in Boston, he had said one of the things that he saw for the when it comes to television and movies is that we're going to see a shift, and that there's going to be a lot of TV shows and movies, because even The Mentalist, the TV show on CBS, that show actually featured after Kreskin. The Mentalist kind of even had a little thing in the show one time with Kreskin on it, just a clip of him. But that's how he's kind of designed on that show. But Kreskin was saying there's going to be more TV and movies about people, their psychic ability, their gut instinct, people who feel like they put out the right energy, they get the right energy back. People talking about the fact that they have these deja vu experiences. Do you think people are starting to realize that's not all hocus pocus like they thought it was 20 years ago, that there is something true to it all, and that's why the TV and the film industry is going to kind of develop more projects on that?
I definitely do, and I definitely think that people are experiencing that. And I've actually had clients come to me with young children who have the ability, presumably, to see angels and the ability to talk to deceased relatives. And I've had parents who don't necessarily believe in this and say, you know, it just is very strange, but my child came to me and said that she or he was talking, well, one girl in particular, she was 7 years old, that she was talking to her deceased grandfather, and the information that the 7-year-old girl relayed to her mother was information that the grandfather presumably told her that she would not have known unless she picked it up telepathically, or unless indeed he was talking to her.
Wow.
From the other side. So I'm seeing more and more like that. I've also had one parent come in and say, I know this is strange, Dr. White, and you may not believe it, but my son has constantly told me that he knew me in another life. And he said that he was an auto mechanic, and when he hears a car going down the street, if it's rattling, I can't even use the right verbiage for what happens to cars, but he said that when there was a car coming down the street and it was rattling or whatever, he was able to use language about what was going on diagnostically with the car, so that he was able to say, well, look, this is wrong with the car. The car needs blah 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 blah, and she was amazed, and she said, you know, I it's really very difficult to, on one hand, to believe him, but given the information that's coming out of his mouth and where he's getting this knowledge, it's also very hard not to believe him. He's not using the same language that he usually talks with. It's a very different experience, and when he's talking to me, it's not like he's lying. It's like he really believes it and he's really telling the truth. So I do think we're experiencing more and more like that, and I think that parents who are having children like that, you know, there have been several shows on, I think it's public television or whatever, where there are children who've been interviewed, children and their parents who've been interviewed, who presumably have psychic ability, and the children are interviewed and they're talking about their experiences, and on some level they say, well, this is a curse as well as a positive, because oftentimes children think that what they're experiencing, everyone else, every other child, every other friend is experiencing, and until they find out differently, that's what they think. And then when they find out differently and they're sharing their experiences with some of the children who aren't having these experiences, they feel very different and they feel ostracized, and oftentimes it's very difficult to get the parents to believe them. So there have been a couple of shows where there have been a couple of psychics and children and the parents that have gone to a particular place, and they've had the children be in this place and talk about what they're picking up in this particular house or this particular locale, and also the parents talking about the frustration. And many of these children have very different skills, from being able to feel energy and see energy and help with moving energy to the possibilities of healing, or being able to see spirits, or being able to feel what went on in a particular house and what went on centuries ago or years ago, and are able to get that through their heightened senses. So I find it fascinating.
Do you think children have heightened senses, though, because they've not been taught by society, oh, that's silly, that's nonsense, you know, don't waste your time on stuff like that, that they're still kind of innocent, so their senses are heightened, that as adults we get caught up in all the media and, oh, that's, you know, don't do this, do that, you know, the social norms, and we don't always go with that true, just general gut feeling like we should?
I think what happens, and that's a great question, I think what happens is that oftentimes some children lose that, yes, because of conditioning and because of conformity and whatever. And some of the parents, and we have another caller on, so I'm just going to finish with you for a moment. Some of the parents have said, and I work with a parent who says that my daughter used to see angels up until a certain age, and usually the age is about 9 or 10 or 11, and then had no recollection or no memory of that taking place. So I think you're onto something with that. And I want to thank you so much for calling in and for listening and for your wonderful insight. It's been a pleasure to talk with you.
Oh, great show. Thank you.
Thank you. And we have another caller. You're on the air.
Oh, hi, Julianne. This is Rita Christensen. How are you from iColor Studio?
Great. How are you?
Great. I thoroughly enjoy your show. This everything intuitive is what my life is about, and I never was able to identify it. And I've had so many strange experiences, and now I keep a notebook. I actually have a client, and I had a dream, and I never really paid much attention to dreams until I went to one of your workshops. And I went as a tag-along with a friend, and you gave such valuable information. I can recall saying one of the first things you asked us to do was write down a dream that has stayed with you for your entire life and then discuss it. And it was just incredible to me that I could recall a dream from being 3 years old and remember almost every detail. So,
you know,
I had a dream.
I think, and we're going to go through your dream for in a minute, but I also think that when that happens, and I think you and I have talked about that in the class, that when there's a dream that's a recurring dream, it's because there's and this is my belief system, okay? It's not backed by anything, I don't think, at this point. But I think what happens is that there's something that the inner mind, the subconscious or whatever, really wants you to know and wants you to get in touch with. And so in your case, I think that's true. But tell us about your dream. I love dreams.
Well, recently, it was a dream, and I've been working with a client for about 4 or 5 years. And while we've met one time, I've never been to his office, and he's in another state. And I had a dream about a year ago, and I was able to describe his office in almost in complete detail, which really, really fascinated me. I said to him, I said, I picture you sitting on the second floor, that your office is overlooking a bar, some black bars, and then I described to the right, I said, there's no females that work. It's a manufacturing plant. There's no females that I know of that work at his company. And I described a group of Asian women in a room next to his office, and they were making some kind of a widget. They were manufacturing something. I couldn't see what it was, but I knew it was tiny, and the women, and it was very dark. And so when I started sharing this information to the client, he said, I work on the second floor. I look out through black bars every day. They're bars on a window. It's not exactly what I pictured, but he was fascinated by that. And he said, next door to my business is an Asian candy-making factory, and it's all women, and they make tiny candies. And it just really blew my mind, because there's no way I would have ever been able to know any of that information. So I've heard of astral projection. I didn't know if that can happen in a dream.
I believe that many of us travel. I know that I travel, and I think that that's possible. But I also think that, you know, you took that class, and you're more sensitized to opening up those different levels of awareness. I had somebody in my class, and I don't think she'd mind me telling this story. She came to that intuitive development class, and at the end of the class, I said, you know, you're supposed to call me. And she said, Joanne, I have to tell you what an incredible experience I had. I was having a dream, just like you. She said, I was having a dream, and in the dream there was this little being who was talking to me and sitting with crossed legs. She said, did you ever see the show that used to be on called Bewitched? That person, I can't remember her name.
Elizabeth Montgomery.
What is it?
Bewitched, Samantha and Elizabeth Montgomery.
So Samantha's the one. She said, and she was sitting like that, and she was communicating to me. She said, when I came into your class, there you were with the eyes, the blue-green eyes and the red hair, and you were that person. I love that stuff. I just think it's very fascinating, and it's meant to be in a lot of ways. So, what's that?
It's affirming, because you're not really consciously thinking about it. So it was more affirming to me than some of the, one of the questions, or one of the things that you're addressing is, can you develop your own intuition? And so I always felt very intuitive about things, and I always knew things, and I could always sense bad energy and positive energy. But when I started to meditate on a daily basis, for some reason, it was like tuning the channel. It was amazing, because I really became even more intuitive than I ever was. I caught someone in a crime, and the police said to me, "How did you know?" I couldn't answer it any more than I actually heard myself say, "The Holy Spirit." I can't tell you; it was just a random thought. So it's really been a lot of fun. The only problem is I don't always trust the information that I'm given, and my husband will say, "Well, can't you figure out how this is going to work out?" No, I can't.
I think that's the hardest thing with people is that ability to trust, because we're bombarded so much by all sorts of internal information, thoughts, fears, doubts, what everything else that we have to do. So when you get information, is it real? Is it something to pay attention to? And I think there is a way of being able to make that assessment and tune into that. So,
do you have any tools? I'm sorry. Okay, you probably have another caller.
No, that's okay. I do, but it's not in 2 minutes because that's something
okay.
that I do in some of my classes. But it really is a way, you know, you almost have to do a little bit of an analysis. How does that information feel? Does it feel like it's coming from a sense of fear or a sense of doubt? Does it feel like truth? And so there are ways to kind of do the testing with it. There also are ways to do it kinesthetically to see. So there are ways to kind of reaffirm or affirm where that information is coming from to make sure that it's correct. To be
all right,
continued.
Well, I appreciate that.
What's
I appreciate that. I appreciate that, and I really thoroughly enjoy your classes.
Well, thank you, Rita, and you're wonderful. I enjoy you, and thank you for sharing your insights on the Power Your Life show. I hope to hear from you again.
Oh, you will, and thank you very much for entertaining my question.
My pleasure. Have a great day. Now, it's interesting that we were talking about the ability to have one sense operating while, let's say, something else is going on at the same time. So you're actually seeing something or hearing something and can associate it with a smell or a color or a sound. So I have another caller. I was going to read something, but this is important. I'm going to tune right in. Hello, you're on the air. Hello? You're on the air. Can you hear me? You're on the air. All right. Well, that caller hung up. Maybe he had to go somewhere. Anyway, and this is from my book, Sense Your Way to Life Satisfaction, because in that book I also have exercises to help you develop that ability to utilize different senses. Our senses are so powerful. They connect us to the world and to others. And because of our senses, we receive data from all of time about what's taking place outside of us as well as what's happening inside of us. And with your senses, you can appreciate and experience and understand when you pay attention and when your perception is on full alert. So what's interesting is about Einstein and when they dissected his brain, they were able to find so many cells called glial cells that actually were not necessarily about logic but more about making novel connections. You're on the air. Are you there? Hello? I keep losing this caller. Hello? All right. Anyway, so when they dissected his brain, what they found was that in his brain there are all these new associations, new pathways that he developed, and many of the ways that he did it was not necessarily just relying on logic, but also relying on other ways of getting information, visualizing information, thinking about what if, dreaming, using some of the non-logical, more right brain ways of seeing and realizing and taking in the world. And that's what allowed for all those new pathways, that so-called genius mind, to be connected. Be passionate about your senses. Find passion in each one of them. You're in the physical form to experience what's going on in the physical plane. Call up the passion that's already inside of you. Awaken it, watch it, and when you do, your life feels and is more and more satisfying. I want to thank you all for being on the show today. Unfortunately, the amazing Kreskin did have to do another journey, and like he said to you, he's been over the world, traveling miles and miles and miles by the air. And he will be around again. He will bless us with his presence and his insights again. And in the meantime, it's been a pleasure to spend this time with you and to share all that we have together. And hopefully we all paid attention to what he said, because I think what was one of the most profound statements that he made, that who knows, that may have the possibility of shifting our world that's currently under conflict with so many things, including what's been going on in Japan and finances and security and all of that stuff. I think that what he said, what the amazing Kreskin said, is something that we need to take heart and we need to incorporate into our lives, to spend time with family and friends without all that those technological devices. Just turn them off for a few minutes. You're really not going to miss that much. Spend time really connecting to one another on so many different levels, with your senses, with words, or as Kreskin said, even non-verbally, to really begin to allow the power of that interaction, that power of that connection, to be one that is the power to help us heal our world. So it's been a pleasure to spend time with you today. Thanks again for tuning in. Next week, April 27th, we have the incredible Janet Powers, who is going to talk about marketing to women. She's the founder and chief executive of Diva Toolbox, and it's a website that's the go-to spot for online women. And in addition, we're going to have Suzanne Venker, who is going to talk about the flip side of feminism from her book, The Flip Side of Feminism, What Conservative Women Know and Men Can't Say. So not that they're going to be sparring on the show, folks, but they're definitely going to be presenting two very, very different points of view. And we embrace the ability for people to have different points of view, because that's what makes up an incredible, wonderful world. See you next week on the Power Your Life show, and it's been my pleasure.
You've been listening to the Power Your Life radio show with your host and author, Dr. Joanne White. Listen often and spread the word about the upbeat show to grow your life in the direction you desire. Listen again and again by visiting divatoolbox.com and blogtalkradio.com. Thank you for sharing your day with us, and stay tuned for more exciting guests and events to come.